Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I present a view of this change that's happening in our culture and around the world, an opening, an expansion of who we are as human beings. And tonight's guest is very much a part of that. She is Dee Wallace, who was the star of E.T., one of my favorite movies, the Spielberg movie E.T., and she's just written her third book called Bright Light. Welcome, Dee. Thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you.
You know, I knew that movie E.T. was so deep and wasn't so much about extraterrestrials as it was about humanity and our ability to feel. Was that your sense of working on it?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anybody working on the film really knew the depth of the importance of it. I called my agent after I read it, and I said, I don't know if this is going to do anything for my career, but I think it's going to do a lot for the world. Mm-hmm. So I got it, even reading the script, I got the vibration of it, you know? And I don't think it's by any mistake that I starred in it, because it's really been my entire journey. And I think, quite frankly, it represents everybody's journey. We're all trying to get back to the home of who we are, the truth of who we are. And we can't do that if we shut our light down and our heart down, which is why I wrote Bright Light. So interesting to me to look back on the fact that I starred in this film years before, and perhaps even the catalyst of writing this book, which is a lot the same story.
Well, I like how you talk about that. We are all trying to get home, and this is exactly why it's such a powerful metaphor for our time. Dee played the mother of the children, of the boys, and Drew Barrymore in that movie, if you're trying to place her. But what was it like? Was that Spielberg's vision to create this, or was it something that sort of came together despite him or inspired by him? So was it bigger than him, or was he really the genesis of this whole vibration that went into that movie?
Oh, you know, I think we were all channels. We were all being used as channels for that, especially Melissa Mathison that wrote the script. This was supposed to be Steven's little movie. It was a little budget with not a lot of special effects stuff, and it was his kind of little movie between his blockbusters. And perhaps, you know, that's why it was such a blockbuster, is because it wasn't done for that purpose. It was just done to tell this very pure story that Melissa had written. But I think we're all used. You know, it goes back to Marshall McLuhan, you know, it's not the medium, it's the message.
Right.
So all of us, even those of us that don't particularly fit the pattern or fit the description of a guru or a channel or an enlightened one, are oftentimes used, especially in the creative arts, to bring through information. For Avatar is another really good example of that. I have never worked with Mr. Cameron, but I hear he certainly can be difficult and demanding to work with, and probably not, you know, your atypical type of, you know, loving guru type of person, but yet he was used in his creativity to bring through a very important message to all of us. Any artist over time can tell you that, the Beatles, you know, used to speak of that quite frequently, that they would just sit there and allow the song to come through.
Actually, and all creative artists have that, a way of tapping into something and just letting it happen through them. I mean, that is the channeling. I mean, Homer in the Iliad said, "Oh, muse, speak through me, speak
exactly
the story." And so,
Well, what I would like to propose to everyone listening right now is you're all channels, and you're all creative because you are creating your life. Whether you're doing it consciously or not, that's a whole other thing. But we are all creators, and we are all the creators of ourselves. And so everybody has the ability to open the channel and receive the information, everybody.
Right, and we all do, whether we know it or not. I mean, if we're in the creative fields, we allow that to come through more. But, you know, with these intense movie directors and other people, there's this fine line between the ego wanting it and stepping out of the way and letting something else come through. How do we know the difference? And maybe we don't. And how do we allow that to work with other people? Do you know what I mean?
I have a lot of differing ideas about this than most people. First of all, I kind of take umbrage at all this ego stuff. I think we use the ego as an excuse not to be responsible for ourselves.
Okay.
And, you know, somebody said, well, you know, my ego got in the way, and I'll say, and who's in charge of your ego?
Right.
We are, you know. So the ego doesn't do anything or make us do anything or create us doing anything that we don't give it permission to do, period. And the other thing that I think happens is that those of us who are on a spiritual path have been taught to keep our light down, to not be powerful, and actually, if we move into our power, we probably lose our spirituality. And that is a belief I would like to invite everybody to replace. It's a limited belief. It's an old belief. And if those of us who are not holding peace, love, joy, and harmony for the world do not come forward in our power, then the other guys do. And then we stand back and go, see, and we blame them. But we haven't come forward to create what we wanted.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. It is time for us in this spiritual world to come up and say, hey, this is my power. I'm important. I have something to say. And to know that it's because we are channels, not because we need to get this done for our own, you know, ego sense. But that's okay too, I think. You know, it's okay. You need an ego to do something in the world.
Absolutely. This is a good time, and I really want to invite your listeners, go to my website and listen to this past life regression. I've just been on tour with Dolores Cannon for weeks. And one of the weekends that I was speaking and teaching with her, she said, you're the one, Dee. You're the one that they want to do the past life regression. It's unbelievably empowering, the message that comes through this past life regression. And it's literally, put the sword down, put your struggle down. Your love is your power, but you must know that power can be love and is love, because we want to separate the two of them. It's just an amazing, amazing journey, this past life regression. So I invite anybody that wants to go to I Am Dee Wallace and have a listen. It's free.
Well, I'll actually listen to that. But, you know, we don't even have to go to past lives. Just looking at your book, there's times it seems like you, looking back, you would have done things different. And you learned a lot of lessons from those experiences. Can you talk about that, particularly with the movie E.T., where, you know, there were some challenges to you?
There were a lot of challenges. And they were my biggest challenges, and they pertain to exactly what we're talking about. Because little Deanna Bowers from Kansas, that was raised in a very poor house. We lived with my grandmother most of the time, pretty religious home. Dad was an alcoholic my entire life, ended up committing suicide. And what my basic lessons were are, you're an incredible bright light Dee Dee, but don't shine it too bright because people will not like you if you do. And
right.
Don't go too far, too fast. Don't have more than you just need. All those things are bad. And certainly don't shout out to the world, I'm amazing and I'm wonderful. So even though I truly was loved unconditionally in my family, I was taught a lot of those limiting messages, like we all, I think, are. And so cut to, you know, E.T. coming out, biggest blockbuster of all time. I shot to stardom. Everybody knew who I was. Everybody wanted to interview me and know me, and all of those messages from my childhood raised their ugly head, and I went, oh, I better shut down. And I did. In many ways, I sabotaged the continual creation of me. And what happens when we do that is it usually appears that it's outside of you and you're not creating it.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
In essence,
we blame other people.
We know that we create everything. We are the creation of us and therefore our lives. So that is why I passionately wrote Bright Light, because I want people to know whomever has hurt you, betrayed you, raped you, belittled you, humiliated you, abandoned you, that's your story. And in this moment, you can acknowledge it and move on from it instead of keep creating yourself by it.
Oh,
you can.
So let me get this right. So the big movie, the biggest blockbuster.
We're all being called to do that, by the way.
What's that last part you said? What?
We're all being called now to answer the call to shine our light, to be our powerful light of love.
But let's just go back. So this movie came out, the E.T., the biggest, most watched movie, one of the top five or three of all times, and then you had an opportunity to be everywhere and do everything, and you said no because you didn't want to look so good. You didn't want to be so bright.
I didn't want to acknowledge my power.
Uh-huh. You refused to do the interviews, and you just kind of
No. I never refused to do anything. I did all the press that was asked of me. I supported the film absolutely, totally. But I shifted my energy, okay, and pulled my light back in. And then the universe said, okay, she's not ready. We won't keep her career going. We won't give her other opportunities. And I didn't do another studio film for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at it from the point of view of blame and judgment and all that stuff that we're taught to do, it looks like a lot of crap happened to me by a lot of nice, not nice people. And
right.
What it really is, and I walk my talk about this, I truly know that your life is the virtual reality of the beliefs you hold.
Mm-hmm.
And however you see things through your perspective, that will be delivered unto you according to your beliefs. And it was. All those beliefs of I'm too big, I'm not worthy, I'm not going to be safe in the world, if I'm this big, blah, 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 you know. And I want to take a moment to say we're taught these things by people who really love us. But nobody
right.
taught them.
Right.
You know, it's like forgive them. They know not what they do.
Right. A spiritual teacher of mine called it recycled ignorance because people are ignorant. They're not. They just don't know what they're capable of if they just allow themselves to shine. So then how did you turn that around after 15 years? What did you have to change in yourself and about your belief system to shine your bright light?
Well, first of all, I asked, and I talk about the night I dropped to the floor after my husband died, Christopher Stone, who we were married 18 years, and he's the father of my daughter, and he starred in a lot of movies with me and was my soulmate. And when he died early, it was like that was the straw, you know. And I dropped to my knees and railed at the heavens and said, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to be pissed off anymore. I want my light back, and I want a way we can heal ourselves. And that was the magic words. And I'm telling you, I never understood what ask and you receive meant until that moment and the next day. Information started flooding into me. I didn't know why I was hearing the things I was hearing. I didn't understand what it meant. I would get these energetic hits all over the place. So I had an acting studio of 80 students, and I took all the information in there, and we started testing it. And all of a sudden, you know, the work would get better, and their emotional blocks would melt away, and their fears about the business would open up, and they started getting agents, and they started working, and then they wanted me to do their moms and their mates and their partners, and then they wanted me to do something, and cut to now, 15 years later, where I'm doing private sessions all over the world every day, and am writing my third book about the information that's coming through. Conscious Creation was my first book, and it's a totally channeled book. Bright Light is absolutely has a lot of channeled information in it, but it's a much more accessible book for the masses. You know, you can really have fun and get it through the stories of all of my great directors that I've worked with and being on the set and my challenges with a lot of my co-stars. And, you know, you get it in a visceral, emotional way, and you go, oh, my God, this is me. This is me. This is my story. And
Go ahead. No, I'm just curious about what is that secret, because I think I could use it as well to get over our own stuff and to realize our greatness, our light, our divinity in that way. What is the key?
I know that the cornerstone of everything is loving yourself. Mm-hmm. And I tell my listeners on my talk shows, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself more. Get up in the morning and go, how can I fill myself up with the love for me? Because we're never taught that. We are never taught how to love ourselves. We're taught the opposite. Give yourself away. Don't speak up for what you want. Diminish yourself to stay safe in the world. Put other people before you, you know. And we have to learn how to really love and cherish ourselves again, because who do we want to give everything to? The people we love. And if we're in the line, we're at the end of it. So,
right. So
that's the first part. And the second most important thing is to take responsibility for you. Nobody is going to create you but you. And your life is a metaphor and a mirror for how you're creating yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you don't create yourself first, you're not going to create the life you want.
So being responsibility is also being honest with yourself about exactly where you are.
Yeah.
You know, and where you want to go and how much you feel you deserve. I mean, of course,
all of the limiting beliefs and fears that are in the way of that.
Right. I guess what you're saying is when we find a life of criticism and judgment, we start to believe that, and it's not really our truth. It was those people's own criticism and judgments about themselves that we started to believe, and we have to, in a way, exercise it, get it out of our energy field.
Well, you just have to make another choice, guys. And, you know, I think one of the problems with the creation process is we just take it too darn seriously, quite frankly. It's not that hard. You know, bottom line, what the channel was giving me the other day is it's not a sci-fi movie. It's fact. write the virtual reality game that you want to play.
Okay.
And then believe it can be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
I mean, you in a way, so you've already reached the top of the hill, you know, in Hollywood, big movie, and now you sort of, is it that you want to get back there, or because you did accomplish a huge thing and you were so great and beautiful as the mother in that movie, that would be the peak of a lot of people's careers in a way, you know? And yet you want to keep riding that wave, which is great. You should. You should be back out there in Hollywood starring.
Well, I think, I don't want to recreate anything because I know that when we look at it as recreating, we're dragging a lot of the old stuff with us. Mm-hmm. And our job is to just be in this moment and create in this moment. So I am creating in this moment more great movies and more great parts, you know, that I want to be a part of now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work with beautiful people where we honor each other and are very talented in projects that I can be proud of that do something for the world. That's what I want. Now, that being said, that applies to my writing. That applies to my talk shows. That applies to every seminar and keynote speech that I do. It applies to everything. You see, when I create me as freedom, joy, bliss, harmony, unconditional love, and peace, and power, then everything that I create has to have those qualities because it starts with me.
When you say you create yourself, but to create yourself as those things, it's that you just, not just, but you believe that you are that. You know that you are that.
You know that you're that, and every thought and action that you choose supports that. So for me to be in fear that I'm not going to have enough money does not support me creating myself in freedom.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you create yourself, I'm just trying to get that, I mean, because I think it's good for everybody, is that when we create ourselves in the vision of what we want, it's we hold the vision as if it is true, as if it is, it's already happened in a sense.
Well, it has, because creation can't happen unless the masculine, feminine, and child come together in balance. And if you think of the baby metaphor, yeah, the sperm and the egg come together. In the moment that they meet, the child is made.
So then how do you relate that to creation in an individual's process?
Okay, so you have the divine idea,
mm-hmm,
that comes to you, and you call forth your power,
mm-hmm,
to match that, which is the masculine, in that moment of decision, not hoping, not thinking about it, not, gee, that would be nice, but in that moment of decision where you go, I'm creating this,
mm-hmm,
then the creation already happens. And that's what they mean when they say it's already been delivered unto you.
Mm, right. There's a line of Jesus who said that, as if it has already been done. So, okay, so let me see if I get that. So you have the vision of what you want. Then you call in the energy of it manifesting. And in that moment, there's the fertilization of the idea, and it goes out into the cosmos and already exists in a form because we just created it as a form, and then it has to come back to us because it's
because
part
it's
of
already
our
created.
Right.
But what we do is we, you know, keep looking for it and we go into doubt. And as soon as we go into doubt, we start asking questions, right? And why not? And we get our mental mind behind it. And then we go into not knowing. And as we go into not knowing, then we create the abortion of the child.
Right. So the big thing is to create the vision, put the energy out, and trust and have faith in in our own spirit, Holy Spirit in that sense, if you want to call it that.
And, well, and our spirit is all spirit. See, you know, we've got the angels, the guides, the archangels, and God down pretty well. Mm-hmm. But we forget ourselves in that scenario, in that oneness, in that wholeness of the I Am. And basically, that's the book that changed my life, is the I Am Discourses, because it says in there quite clearly that your I Am presence, which is the presence that creates everything, okay, mm-hmm. Cannot create for you without your clear direction of it. And none of us are taught that it's our direction and our choice and our decision, and then the world and the energy can respond to it. So we have to, when we're saying, God, deliver this to me, we've got to know unconditionally that we're the God that's delivering it to ourselves.
I totally agree with you. And the way you talk about it, it is so simple, and it's as if, and I don't want to get into like conspiracies, but it's as if we've been kept from that knowledge about our own power. And so we're
back. Because we're afraid of it. So we created a lot of people that lied to us about it so we wouldn't have to deal with it.
We're afraid of it, and I think people in control are afraid of that power, so it's retarded in a sense.
You see, if we're holding the belief that people in power are lying to us to hold us down and that's our reality, then that's the reality we'll create.
Right, and we give them power that way. So,
yeah, yes. As we believe, we're going to deliver it. So, you know, what's a higher unlimited thought is that we know the truth, we are the truth, that nobody or no thing outside of ourselves can define who we are, and therefore I take responsibility for defining me. I mean, I just gave the sermon at my spiritual center, and I said, got up, and my first line was, because we're going through financial difficulties, right, mm-hmm. that this spiritual center is a metaphor for the financial demise of America.
In what way?
We're out of money. America's out of money. Mm-hmm. And unless we individually start creating ourselves in the knowingness of money, and, you know, everybody loves the word abundance, but when we say abundance, we're really talking about money, right?
Right.
Every limiting thought that we have about money, every fear that we have about money creates ourself, our homes, our society, our churches,
our relationships,
our world.
Our beliefs about ourselves, yes. Yes.
So if you don't like the way things are showing up anywhere in your life, look at what you're believing about them. Every mm-hmm. time, and I'm not a political person at all, mm-hmm. But I can tell you that every time you think a lesser or what we call negative or limited thought about this country, you're helping to create it as negative and limited.
Mm-hmm. Just like the way we create those beliefs about ourselves every time we have a negative and limited thought about ourselves.
Absolutely. You are, if you can think of your body mm-hmm. as a mini universe that is a hologram of the whole universe, you kind of get how important you are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really got sort of a transmission as you were talking, or a sense that simply, and it is simply, by believing in this I Am presence, which is the life force that's generating the being consciousness in you, that is the power of creation right there.
And we absolutely. But you got to direct it, see?
Yes.
So if we're, for example, if we're sitting in front of a television set, in an hour, we hear what age we're going to get, what disease, what medication we better be on, and how it's probably going to kill us anyway. Right?
Right.
And if you're not sitting there going, you know what, I'm perfect wellness, and that's the direction that I'm giving me and the presence that creates everything. I'm wellness. Give me wellness, I'm creating wellness, that's it. But if we don't create ourselves consciously like that, we become the created upon by genetics, by, again, sins of the fathers, teachings that, you know, were limiting for them, so they're teaching us, by society, by the media, and by our own fears.
Well, this is one of the reasons I do this program, because I know we need to create new realities about everything we've been taught and been conditioned to believe in. And people like you coming forward and using the notoriety that you have, the fame, it's helping to turn on the lights. And so...
Well, I hope so. That's my joy. And that's my intention, is by using me and my journey that I can help enlighten others and wake others up to the fact that they are their answer. I mean, it's like the end of The Wizard of Oz, you know. You had the power all along, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
E.T. had the, you know, it was, nobody was going to get E.T. home but E.T.
Right. Right. And no one's going to get us home, back to our source, except us. And there's no relationship, no money, nothing outside that's going to get us there until we believe in ourselves. And I think that's part of getting off the wheel of incarnation is having that deep soul understanding that we are source. And then
I want to tell you what came through in one of my workshops about karma, that literally there is no karma in the way that we've believed in it anymore. That there can be instant karma with a thought. So you have limiting thoughts like, I'm stupid, I'm too old, I'm not worthy, I can't create anything. Then you create your karma. In the moment that you choose, I'm magnificent, I'm unlimited, I'm absolute unconditional love and joy and bliss, you have no more karma.
Right. I totally agree with that. And the thing about past lives is that we get stuck in a belief system because of ideas we've had in those lifetimes or situations that have happened that get us locked into kind of a soul agreement about who we are. So like my last lifetime, I think I was in a concentration camp in Germany and lost everything in that. And now coming back, I'm realizing now that I can have it all and it won't be taken away. So I'm getting over that deep ingrained belief system that
right.
I feel has been passed on. Of course, it's just a story, but it's a story that makes sense to me, and it's...
But it's a story that literally becomes a commitment, because mm-hmm. it's still in your energetic cellular field.
Right, so how do you free yourself by the same process?
We don't have to know what all those other lifetimes are. We simply have to create in this moment what we want, or... Mm-hmm. Let's see, the channel's yelling at me here. No. So I'm going to balance this for a minute. I am divine love. What am I missing here?
You channel.
Oh, we have to know in every moment of now that we're creation. We are the creation of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
We are.
So what do we want to create in this moment? Freedom, joy, bliss, peace, harmony, equality, enoughness for all people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sharing, what else? That is what we choose to create in this moment and every moment of now.
Uh-huh.
And I know on my show on Thursday morning that they've already told me to talk about this energetic time, because really time doesn't exist, and we've heard this for a long time, right? But they're saying the only time that's really real is energetic time. And I said, well, what the hell's energetic time? I don't know that term. And it's when we are conscious enough to stay in this moment of now. Because in this moment of now, it's where your creation happens. So if you can stay in the present moment and keep creating, you can create five times more stuff, right, mm-hmm. than somebody who is still trying to recreate the past or creating for the future.
Right. The power is in the I am right now.
Yes.
And so when you talk about your channel, is this a part of you that sort of channels? Are you channeling your I am essence in a sense?
I've been in the channel ever since this show started. I kind of live in the channel, quite frankly.
And, well, that's it. You could take credit for your essence in a sense. That's what I'm getting, you know?
Yes, and somebody asked me in one of my shows, who do I channel? I said, I don't have the slightest idea. Let's ask. And we were directed to a place in my sheets. And basically, it said everybody. It's all one energy.
Right, when you say, who do you channel?
So I channel God. I channel the angels. I channel the archangels. I channel myself. I channel you. I channel all the information because there isn't any separation. And when we make separation, we're only, by our own limitation, invoking part of the energy that can work for us.
Well, I think we're always, most of the time we're channeling this I am energy. If we're going to take responsibility, then it's the soul essence that is the I am presence, that is the true part of us, the authentic part is the part we're all channeling, and that's the same in all people. So I think what I believe is the path of this life is finally embodying the I am presence in every moment, and slowly the personality starts to kind of fade away until we all are that. I am that, as they say in India, you know?
Yes, and that can look very different in everybody, you know? A lot of people call me the irreverent healer because I like to joke around a lot. I like to have fun. I'll come on the show and talk about sex. I think sex is great. I like sex. I think everybody should like sex. I like to have my wine at night. And every once in a while, a four-letter word escapes my mouth, you know? And do I absolutely know that I'm connected to the I? You bet.
Well, you know, sex is our divine pathway home. That's why it is so pleasurable. That's why that, you know, orgasm is a union with the divine. That's why it's such an important part of people's lives, whether they know it or not.
See, I knew I liked you.
All right, we'll have to meet sometime.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely.
Just about being human. We can't deny things like sex or anything. We can't restrict any part of our human experience because this is why we incarnated. We incarnated to have fun, to have pleasure.
Yeah, and that's why I love the movie Michael with John Travolta.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah.
My God! You haven't seen. Got to go watch Michael. Promise me you'll Netflix it or something.
Okay, I will rent it. But what's their punchline of that movie? You're saying?
Well, basically, he's an angel that comes down to Earth, and the reason he comes is because he loves the earthly experience, and he has sex, and he eats sugar, and you know he eats all the garbage food, and he just has fun. He gets out and he dances, and guys, you got the wrong idea.
Right.
You come to this plane to
this
experience.
It's the problem with religion. You know, religion has replaced, people use religion to control others. And of course,
themselves. Don't tell me I can't speak to God only through you. I ain't buying that. I never bought it.
Well, that is what my website is about, newrealities.com. It's about taking back our power in many, many different directions and many avenues of the self. And to overcome these restricted religious dogma that have kept people trapped and
yes.
and trapped in a limited belief. And so I think we are moving into a new age, a new time, and I think 2012 is a part of this transition. I do believe in ETs. I think Spielberg is a channel for the ETs, whether he knows it or not. And I think we have a new time coming to the Earth. I mean, what do you think?
I think actually it's already here, but we haven't woken up enough to see it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to see it through our perspective if it's going to be a reality. So it's just going to be a continuing opening expansion into a more blissful place. But again, we have to agree with ourselves to see the glass half full if it's going to be half full. Mm-hmm. The perspective that we hold creates the reality we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they explained the New Earth to me, the channel, was, you know, if you believe that the New Earth has to be a separate place, a separate Earth that literally separates from this physical Earth, then that's the reality that you will create. If you know that the New Earth is an energetic move into peacefulness and unconditional love and harmony and bliss, and you can stay here and live in that, then that's what you will create. There's no right or wrong or better or worse or the only answer. Again, what virtual reality do you want to create?
Exactly. Well,
and it's a mind bender. It's a mind bender because we go, no, that's a movie, right?
Well, movies are realities. They're possibilities. But I'm with you. I'm with you. We can create peace on Earth and a paradise, and we can have it all. We truly can.
And we do as soon as our perspective knows that.
So what other kind of spiritual awakenings or experiences have you had as you open up energetically to this field? Like, what's come to you? What visions have you had? And
I don't see things. I hear things. I'm really clairaudient. I mean, sometimes they give me pictures, but I don't, like one of my healing partners, he'll actually see people standing in the room and stuff. I don't do that. I think I'd probably be freaked out, and that's why I don't do it.
Right.
You know, I'm working with myself to being open to know it's just energy that wants to communicate.
A key to that is being conscious in your dream states. And the more you're lucid in those dream states, the less I feel we're freaked out about the manifestations that appear in front of us. Because as I become more lucid, things turn into other things, and there's always a sense of me as the observer. So as I start to see things, I'm at peace with it. That's just...
Oh, well, good. I needed to hear that. That's great.
And that, of course, is our doorway into some of these other dimensions. So tell me more. Tell me about your work with Dolores Cannon, because she is an amazing being.
She is quite an amazing being. She found my work and loved it and wanted to take me out on tour and introduce her to her people. And so while that's been happening, of course, I got to sit in on her weekends, amazing weekends, by the way, where she teaches past life regression and hypnotherapy. Mm. And, you know, and at the same time, she would say things like, you know, the New Earth is definitely another place.
Mm.
From my channel, I get a no on that. So we would have these very lively conversations in the evening. Mm-hmm. And both of us, you know, come to the conclusion again that your perception creates your reality. So
right.
It's been a really stimulating summer for me, getting out and traveling with her and being, you know, becoming acquainted with all these masses of books that she has where she's done these regressions and actually talked to people about the lives that they've had, when they've been abducted, what happened. The one thing that we can agree on totally, that we share the same perception about, is that, you know, the extraterrestrials have been around for eons, and they're here to kind of protect and guide us, really, and support us in making the higher choices. And they can't interfere, but they can be a presence that helps us wake up and be more aware.
What do you think Spielberg's connection to ETs are? You think he was an abductee?
I have no idea, darling. I don't know.
I think he probably was. I mean, this is just my guess. Who knows? But I think some of those images were planted in his mind to create an openness towards these interdimensional, intergalactic.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's done other films,
right?
That have created horrible aliens.
That's true. The War of the Worlds, but
well,
yeah.
Artificial Intelligence. I mean, well, that was a really negative film.
It was? I didn't think that was such a negative film.
Oh, I thought it was a terribly negative film.
You did when the little boy became human and they those ETs helped? I mean, what was negative about it? I mean, it was a little destructive.
You know, I haven't seen it in so long that I can't really speak about it too intelligently, and we're talking about artificial intelligence.
Hold on,
because there's something coming through right now. So, Basically, aliens are not artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They are higher intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They have more knowing than we've moved into. Mm-hmm. So for us to think that... for us to think that becoming them would be a lesser, or being them would be a lesser experience, is a limited thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you ask your channel if there's a time where we will merge with that consciousness?
It's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's already happening for those people who are seeing it and willing to be there right now. Remember where the natives couldn't see the ship because they didn't know what it was, so they literally couldn't see it?
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, that's why Einstein used to say, I go into my imagination. I go into my imagination where I can imagine what the answer is because I haven't seen the answer yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's a metaphor for the realities that we are moving into. Like you're saying, these realities already exist, but we're not seeing them because we don't have the cognitive factors in putting those realities together.
Well, then we need to direct the I Am Presence to give us those.
Well, and that's where creativity comes in. That is the core of creativity because it's only with the creative. But I'm writing a whole thing about the artist's role in creating new realities because it's the artist that sees new patterns of perception. And by seeing these new patterns, they cognize new forms that are
absolutely
right here in front of us.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio's film, you know, where they could stop the moment.
Inception.
Yeah, people are starting to channel right and left what it's all about, but we still think it's a movie, and it's not.
Mm. Have you studied Richard Bartlett's work, Matrix Energetics?
A bit.
I think you would love that because he talks about parallel timelines that exist right around us, and all we have to do is stop the patterns of thought that we're having that is creating this reality, And in the moment of grace, a new one unfolds.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you can see miracles right in front of you in that work. And many people are tuning into other ways of knowing. So, and this is what your work is about. You are trusting, and through this interview, I got a real sense of how much you are dedicated to the I am spirit, the I am essence inside of you. And
that's, you know, literally inside, outside, around, and through. That's all there is. So This is what I want. This is my clear direction of it. Now, give it, you know, take it, guys. Create it. My job's done. And Some people call that naivete, and some people call it miraculous creation.
Well, I want to call it what it is, and I don't want to listen to what other people... I call it reality and possibility of living, and this is what your work's about. And
yours, my friend.
Wait, what's that?
And yours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm doing it because, to be truthful, I'm doing it because I want to know this so deeply for myself that I don't forget it. That's why I'm doing this work.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, right?
Yes, you bet.
Because this is what we need to know, or at least I feel I can't hear it enough. I need to just immerse myself in that as long as it takes for me to really get that we are the creators of our reality.
Yes, and the Hopis told us that years ago. We're the people we've been waiting for.
Okay, and we have arrived.
Yes, we have. I'm so claiming that with you right now, dude.
So be it. Let's. Okay, thank you.
That's our reality. We're there. It's done. It's all delivered to us already, and we can see it.
Thank you. And as I take that into my body, I feel an increased vibration that's happening throughout me.
Yeah, I call that joy. Joy of the truth.
Well, thank you, Dee. You're back in Hollywood, though. You're doing some films. And how do you take this awareness and bring it onto the set, bring it into the movies you're working with?
You know, I bring it into me. And if, again, I am the creation of it, then all around me I will see through that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? We create with the essence of who we are, not what we do.
Mm-hmm. But you still have personal dramas. I mean, you don't have to tell me what they are, but I'm sure there's things that upset you and get it.
You know, not too many these days. Okay. Right now, I'm trying to hold my balance around a very, very good friend of mine who's chosen to leave instead of stay.
Uh-huh.
And that's...
That's their choice.
It's their choice, but it's my test.
And maybe your reality has evolved beyond where theirs could stand in a way, you know?
Well, and, you know, I really love what Dolores Cannon says, that many, many, many people are leaving right now in tsunamis or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Many people are leaving right now because they believe they can help more from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to judge who's made that decision or not.
Right. But and we are here to uplift the planet into this world that we've been talking about. And it's very exciting times.
Indeed it is, my friend.
And thank you, Dee.
Oh, thanks. I could spend 5 more hours with you.
Okay, so I'm coming to Los Angeles. We'll do a television interview. I'll bring a camera and camera people, and we'll do that, okay?
I'd love that. You just let me know.
I will let you know. I'll let your people know, and we'll do that maybe in September sometime, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Okay, your website is imdwallace?
Yes, .com.
.com, and Dee's latest book, Bright Light, and of course the star, the mother in E.T. Do you ever see the cast at all?
No, we're all pretty busy going our different ways, I think.
I think we should have a reunion film, right? E.T. Part 2?
Yeah, right. I don't know. The kids are grown and the dog's dead, but we'll figure out the story there somewhere.
What a great sequel. E.T. comes back after 30 years to see what happened.
Yeah, a lot of people have put that out to him.
Well, we'll see. But thank you. Your work is really in alignment with what I'm doing. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, darling. Thank you. And many blessings to all your listeners.
Thanks again. I've been talking to Dee Wallace, who is the author of Bright Light and well-known actress. This has been New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. Thanks for listening. Check my website for this interview and others. Also on BBS Radio Archives. Email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and let me know what you think of all this. Thank you. This is Green Fire in the Fire. We'll be right back.